I chose the topic today, you shall receive power. Sometimes it feels like this, that the church these days is lacking in power. We have some form of godliness about us, right? But all too little of power, power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts drives us to wonder why there is such a difference between the early church and the church now. Right? Was there really meant to be such a difference? What has changed over time? And where is the power that once belonged to the people of God, belonged to the church? And today we're going to look at it. So shall we at this time just bow our heads with our eyes closed and look to the Lord for the word from Him? Let's open up our hearts to receive His word, open up our ears to hear. Father, we want to thank You for giving us once again the grace to gather in this manner to look to You, Lord, to worship You, to pray, to hear Your word, to fellowship, and to partake of the meal that You have called us to take part by Your grace. Father, through Your word, Lord, I pray that You'll speak to us this day regarding the power that You promised us. You said, You shall receive power. And Lord, speak to us clearly about Your power. Prepare our hearts to receive Your power. Prepare us to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as I speak, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto You. In Jesus Christ's most wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So once again, a very good afternoon. So as we look to God's Word, when we talk about this power, first of all, it's important for us to understand the source of this power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it tells us that the answer, of course, is that the power lies in the Holy Spirit, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But we are all Christians, we're all believers. Don't we have the Holy Spirit, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 39 says, declares that this promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone for whom God calls to Himself. It is for all believers, all Christians. Verse 38 reads, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. But what makes it interesting is, the disciples had already received the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. John chapter 20, verse 22 reads, and with that He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But yet, no one showed or displayed the power of the Holy Spirit prior to Pentecost. Be it spiritual power or be it power to perform miracles and healing and amazing things. None of them displayed this even before Pentecost. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 26, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then, verse 26 says, a week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. They had the Holy Spirit, and yet they were living in fear. They locked themselves behind doors, not knowing what to do, not understanding that they have already received the Holy Spirit, yet not knowing what is this receiving the Holy Spirit is all about. Therefore, they were living in fear. They were afraid of what is going to happen. Sometimes I wonder whether we have become too easily satisfied with the pre-Pentecostal measure of power, and that is to forgive. Right? The power to forgive the sins of many. John chapter 20, verse 23, it reads, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But the power of Acts chapter 1, but Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is to become witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is the power, not just to forgive. The power is to be witnesses to the ends of the world. Do we desire that power? Do we desire to have that power which the Holy Spirit is so willing to freely give to us? Or are we just content and satisfied, say, no, just give me a little bit of this power should be enough? It's like when we order our soya bean drink from Mr. Bean, right? When you go and order, he'll ask you, how much sugar do you want? I want 25%, I want 50%, 75%, maybe 100%. And suddenly that's why we bargain with the Lord. See, Holy Spirit, power, how much do you want? Lord, don't give me too much, just maybe 25%. Just enough to just do this little bit. It's enough for me to survive and just make it through until you call me back home. Just, I don't want too much, Lord. Because we don't want too much. I think the Spider-Man would say, right, with power comes responsibility. Right? So we don't want too much responsibility. So I don't want 100% of your power. I just want, just give me 50%. Just enough. Right? Do we desire to see God's power functioning in our lives? Do we desire that? Are we just contented with coming for service and then receive the Lord's blessing, receive the word, and then we're off? Maybe it is time for us to be of one mind, devoting ourselves to prayer. I can say it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Joseph, Jesus, and with his brothers. Do we long for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life? Do we long for the coming of His wind, to catch His wind, catch His fire in our church, once again, in our personal lives? Do we desire? Do we pray? Do we pray for one another? Do we build or rebuild the family altar? I pray we have family altars at home and we gather together regularly to pray as families. So be assured, the source of this power is the Holy Spirit. It comes from Him. It is not our own doing. It's not our own effort. It is not our own talents or ability or even our intellect or intelligence or how much we know the gospel. The power comes purely from the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we will desire, Lord, pour that Holy Spirit power in my life, that I may function with His power and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Secondly, we need to understand the purpose of this power. The purpose of this power, as I mentioned earlier in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that we might be witnesses. Excuse me. The first sign that Pentecost brought was the power to speak in tongues, right? This was very significant. It's very important. Speaking of tongues also signified one thing, that salvation was not only for the Jews, for the people of Israel. It was also for the Gentiles, those people on the outer parts of Israel. It was not just localized salvation, but salvation to every nation, tribe, and tongue, as it received the Holy Spirit as we were speaking in tongues. The second indicator, excuse me, was Peter's boldness. We all know Peter, the apostle, the disciple. A short while ago, when you looked at Acts, the disciples were trembling behind locked doors. But now, having experienced a measure of the Spirit's power, the glory, Peter boldly preached. You know, Peter, he denied Christ 3 times. We would quickly give him the label, a coward, because he denied Christ 3 times. But yet, when you look at him now, after he received the power of the Holy Spirit, his life transformed tremendously. He preached boldly to those who were laughing at those who were speaking in tongues. He became a transformed man, speaking to thousands, and many came to the Lord. Do we desire such boldness? The boldness to speak about Christ boldly, courageously, without fear. And for that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the power of the Holy Spirit does in our lives. That's the purpose of the power. For us to boldly go and preach the gospel to the lost, to those who don't know. To the hurting, to the lost, to the broken. So that they may be reconciled back to God. And that is what God is giving us that power for. The power to be witnesses. The power to preach. Thirdly, this preaching cut them to the heart. In Acts chapter 2 verse 37 it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And John chapter 16 verse 8 says, declares that it is only the Holy Spirit who convicts the hearts of men with their own sinfulness. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, with the Holy Spirit, not only it comes with the power to declare the gospel, but also the power to drive men to consciousness of having sinned against God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts men of their sin. And that is what the power of the Holy Spirit does. And fourthly, the apostles performed wonders and signs. And all these wonders and signs pointed to the truth of the gospel. It vindicated the truth of the gospel. Healing and powerful activities took place when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God. And that is the purpose of the power. And thirdly, what does this power do for the community? You see, everything changed when the power of the Holy Spirit swept into this community. A revival took place. There was a devotion to God's word. They devoted themselves to listening to what the apostles had to say. They studied the scriptures. They gave themselves to receiving the word, to studying the word. And there was also a constant remembrance of Jesus. They were talking about Jesus everywhere as testimonies and also as witnesses to others. There was a tremendous change in the lifestyle of those who had now experienced Jesus. From individuals, right? Initially, they were self-centered. They were looking after themselves, looking after only their own interests. So from individuals, they came to spend a new life together in the community of love, the community of God. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and then 44 to 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I thought that must have been a wonderful experience, right? To see all this happening in the church. Powerful things happening and people were being added to the church daily. And isn't that what we want? I'm sure that's what we want, right? People being added to the church. Kingdom of God growing, expanding daily. And that is the power we want to see manifested in the church. And when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about fellowship, it's a very strong and powerful word. And in the Greek, it refers to communion, participation, sharing, partnership, contribution right? Fellowship actually means sharing everything in common. Sharing everything in common. And in Greek, actually, in a way, it parallels to the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The relationship that they had. And that is the fellowship it talks about that we should have. The fellowship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have is this kind of fellowship that God also wants us to have with one another. See, the intimate love relationship we have with the Holy Trinity is the kind of fellowship we have with each other. You know, if we don't have an intimate relationship with God, It will show in our relationship with one another. The way we speak with one another, the way we speak of one another, the way we speak about another brother and sister in Christ, the way we talk to one another, the words that we use, is indicative of our relationship with God. So if you don't have an intimate relationship with God, it will show in our relationship with one another. And sometimes we struggle with our relationship with one another, and that's why it is good to always check our relationship with God when we go through that phase. So how did the Acts of community work this out? The community of Acts, how did they work this out? You see, they had a transformed view of their possessions, their time, and their lives. No longer did they own what they possessed. Instead, everything they had, it belonged to whoever had need within the body of Christ. No longer did they consider everything they had for themselves. For example, before this, what they thought was whatever they earned, whatever blessings they had, it was for them, not to share. They wanted to take care of themselves. Every man for himself wanted to protect their own interests. But after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were transformed, even in their view of their possessions. They shared their blessings. I remember when I have three children. My oldest is a boy, and I have two daughters. My first daughter, she just completed Tung Ling Bible College. Before she entered Tung Ling, I had already planned, worked out the finances, we were able to afford and all that. But then a church member suddenly came forward and blessed us with a substantial amount of money for her to go and study in Tung Ling. And when I went to thank her and appreciate it for what she did, she said, "Pastor, I've been blessed, and I just wanted to share this blessing with you." And that is what it is, right? Sharing our possessions. We have been blessed, and the blessings is not for us to keep for ourselves, but the blessings is so that we can also bless others to share this blessing that we have given to one another. And it's not just financial blessings. And it's important for us to look out and see where are the gaps, to look around and see those who are struggling, those who have challenges, and if we are able to bless them, we bless them. We may look around, they may be well-dressed, when we speak to them, we can understand that they're going through a lot of challenges in their lives. And the Lord has blessed us. We share our blessings with one another. And not just financial blessings, as I mentioned. Right? They no longer considered time their own time. You see, they met in the church every day. And I wish we could do this in Singapore, right? We meet in church every day, but we cannot. We got work and we got other responsibilities. But in the time of Acts, they met in church every day. You see, the time that they had was not just for themselves. They spend their time with one another, fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, looking out for one another, caring for one another, pastoring one another, shouldering each other's burdens and responsibilities. They looked out. They didn't consider this is my time, my personal time, my family time. No. They shared the time that they had with one another. They enjoyed each other's company. Because I believe they decided that their very lives now belonged to each other. It is no longer just me alone. Our lives belong to each other. We share our lives together. So when we say, "Come Holy Spirit," and this is what we are saying. Come Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Come in your power. Just as the tongues of fire rested on each individual in the upper room, right? Each of us need to individually experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to have that purifying power. We have to understand the truth about God. We need to desire that experience. Do you desire that? Would you desire that? But I want an experience. I want an encounter. I want a special anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit over my life, so that I may do your will, I may do your purposes, I may do your ministry. You see, God did not say, when I give you the Holy Spirit, you may have the Holy Spirit, you kind of will have the Holy Spirit, or you can choose, as I said, option. You can choose 25%, 50%, 75%. If you want, you can have it. He didn't say that. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will have that power. You shall have that power. You will have that power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we all have the Holy Spirit in us. As believers, as Scripture says, as believers, we have been given the Holy Spirit. But the problem is that we don't allow Him to function in us in the way that He wants to. We do not allow that. Sometimes we don't even acknowledge Him, right? The challenge is sometimes we do not allow the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Certain parts of our lives, we say, Holy Spirit, you don't come. Like, it's in, if I can use this analogy, like the house that we have guests coming to the house, right? We invite them, we show them, this is the room, this is the living room. We're very proud. We say, this is the kitchen. The toilet is nicely decorated. This is the master bedroom, and this is the second bedroom, the third bedroom. But one room that we most like, usually will not allow or introduce anybody to, or will not allow them to see, is our storerooms. Right? Because that's where we collect all the mess and we store everything there. Right? We do not allow, don't see the storeroom. And sometimes that is with our lives also, right? We allow God in certain areas of our lives and certain areas, say, Lord, you do not come because you don't want to see this mess. This is my private life. But will we allow the Holy Spirit to permeate our whole life, to fill every area in our lives? He has been given to us. We don't allow Him to function in us. I want to finish with this story that happened. Many years ago, in this church that I was, I grew up in this church, the vicar, he passed on. He went on to be with the Lord during his final year at the church. And then there were many issues, many challenges. And then we were a church that moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, I would say. And then some of them, because of that, they left after the church. And when a friend of mine, a church member, asked one of those who left the church, why did you leave? And he said, I left because there's no more power in the church. His exact words, there is no more power in the church. That's why he left. And then this brother came and told me, he said, you know, this person said, he left the church because there's no power. And I said, what a waste. How I wish he had come and asked me, because I would have told him. Not tell him off, but I would explain to him. You see, him telling, leaving the church because there's no power, it's, I think, like this. At that time, when this brother shared this with me, this picture came to my mind. It is like this. It is in your house. You are in your house, in your living room, sitting down with your family, maybe watching TV, maybe someone is preparing lunch or dinner, cooking something. Watching TV, enjoying the aircon, the fan, watching. So family are gathered here, sitting there. And then suddenly, maybe there's a power surge, something went wrong, and the power tripped. The power tripped, your whole house now has got no electricity, no power to run the things that need to be run on electricity, no longer. So what do you do? So what this brother said was something like this. It is what I would refer to. It's like this, huh? The moment there's no power, what you do is you immediately gather your family, pack your stuff, leave the house, lock the door, and then you go and sell the house. Why? Because there's no power in the house. So I'm going to go and find another house. I'm going to sell this house. That's it. And that is what I think this brother was telling. But as responsible people, when there's no power in the house, what is it we'll do? We'll go to the circuit breaker, and then we will reset. And maybe go and find out where is the power surge, where is the problem, and then we reset and do something about it. If we cannot do it, what do? We immediately call for an electrician for him to come and repair and to fix the problem. Right? We do not run away or sell the house and then we find another house. And that is what it is. Sometimes we say, there's no power in the church, but there's no power in the fellowship. What are you and I doing about it? What are we doing for there to be power in the fellowship, for there to be power in the church? Right? Sometimes when someone says, there's no power in the church, that's why I'm going to another church, I would rather you not go to the other church because you might be the cause for the power trip over the other church. Right? So when there's no power, do something about it. Will we turn to the Lord in the Word, through the Scriptures, in fellowship, in prayer, coming together, manifest the power that God has given us? As I said, the power has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The problem is we don't allow Him to function in us. And I encourage us, let us consider this. And will we desire for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Be witnesses to what God can do, to His healing power, to the salvation that He brings, to the truth of the gospel. Will we be witnesses? Will we move in that power? Because God has said, Jesus said, you will receive power, and may we receive that power, and may we move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.